and welcome to the broadcast with Amanda Shandy and Colleen. My name's Colleen.
My name's Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to episode 19, air quotes. So we are recording this on Thursday, November 10th. And what you guys don't know is we actually did record our weekly episode back on Monday that we were going to release tomorrow, the 11th. And then the election happened. And we felt that we wanted to have a more direct to limited editing, direct to tape episode out that was more topical and then put out the one that we recorded last week next week. So that's kind of our plan. We still would love your feedback and whatnot, and we will certainly incorporate that. But this is going to be probably one of the more rawr. I know I can't say that
rawr.
Word. Rawr. Episodes. Rawr. Is it rawr? I can't say it.
Raw. I think just raw, like raw is what you're going
like
for.
Raw. Raw. Raw episodes that we do with very minimal editing, just for the sake of time. And then what you hear next week will be what we recorded back this past Monday. But again, we need your feedback because we are going to chug on through till December, then take our little holiday break and call it a day. So call it a year, rather. And it's been a year, guys. If you told me a year ago today that we would be saluting President-elect Donald Trump, I would have said...
Definitely not saluting. Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, not saluting because he has not served in the military.
Yeah. Or in the Congress, or in the Senate, or in the law profession, or...
I mean, and to be fair, neither have we. So
like, neither have we.
Like, yeah, we're not asking to be president. So
No, I'm just saying, like, you know.
I know. Oh, absolutely. You know, you guys are totally right. I don't want to, and I don't want to be negative. So the reason that we decided to do this emergency, podcast, emergency air quotes, is because A, you know, we got some feels, and B, we decided that we wanted to put some. There's a lot of negativity going on right now in the world, and we wanted to put some positivity back into the world and let people know if you are somebody that is upset about the election, and clearly, statistically, 50% of our listeners are upset and 50% of our listeners are fine. Now, of course...
I doubt that breaks down like... Sorry.
I'm so sorry. The holidays are coming. You know, we don't want to make this a divisive show whatsoever. That's why we want to be more positive on what we focus on. Statistically, I guess 50% of our audience is happy with the results and 50% isn't. Now, of course, 46.9% of our audience may not have even voted. So there's that, if we're going with statistics. But that said, we did want to put something out there that we've been fairly topical with our episodes. So that's what we want to focus on. And I think that we actually really need to address the most important thing out of all of this. And that is, what are you guys going to do with your hashtag I'm with her paraphernalia? Because I have a proposition. And I think you just need to take a Sharpie and add an S to it. And it's instant broadcast.
There's our swag. I mean, we already sort of plagiarized the hashtag to begin with. Might as well go whole hog.
Go whole hog. What are you going to do? I mean, I feel like you guys are all for recycling, right? We're upcycling. Yeah. So if you have an I'm with her, add an S to it somewhere. And you're upcycling, okay?
Yep.
And then,
even regardless, just keep wearing that shit, man. Yes.
That
you
too.
Can still be with the female message, even though we don't have a lady in the Oval Office.
Yeah, and you are so inclined, T. Fury today had a She-Ra shirt that said She Rocks.
Nice.
I may have bought it. Nice. There's nice. That. Well, it was red, and I look good in red, so I couldn't deny it. I couldn't resist it. But if you do decide to upcycle your shirts, though, or your something, please take a picture and hashtag us and, like, tweet it at us or something, because I think that'd be amazing. And I'm not trying to make light of anything, but, like, seriously.
But I'm with hers is staying.
That's staying. Like, we're
not going anywhere, guys. We are
four
not
more
going
years.
Anywhere.
4 more years and beyond.
to
four and beyond. But anyway, all right, that's the only thing I really had written down to make sure that I said tonight.
Okay. And I feel like I'm sorry, but I do have to add an asterisk. I said that I was totally down to podcasts, but I also said that I cannot guarantee positivity. So you guys do your best to be positive, and I will do my best to not cry, and we'll get through this.
And that's why we're a team, because that's what we do. Women back each other up.
Exactly. Well, and I think, and we are by no means making light of the fact that this week has been hard. This week has been hard for everyone, and we're all feeling super, super dark.
Yes.
And I think I woke up this morning and I just had this thought. Maybe it's also because I listened to the West Wing Weekly yesterday. But I woke up this morning and I just had this thought of like, okay, what's next? Which is a big line from the West Wing. And I think for me, what is helping me through my emotions is to focus on A, the positivity, and B, what can I do? What can I do to help make things better? What can, you know, this thing has mobilized me. Like, it has made me want to get involved, and it's sort of starting to like be, I'm working through it by trying to find ways to be constructive. And that's what I'm finding is helping me. Right. But that also is not to say like, This is grief. And I think there is nothing wrong with calling it grief. We are allowed to grieve for the fact that we all thought something was going to happen and it's not.
See, it's not even that we thought, God.
It's okay, Jenny.
Yep, we said it was going to be rar.
That's the title of this episode, by the way, is RAR.
It's not even just that we thought something would happen, because holy like shit, we're so overdue for a female president, and that's just like part of it. But
it's okay. Let it out.
I think what people are actually grieving is not that they're tired loss. It's that we have a terrifying situation on our hands.
So I do.
And that's what's hard. And that's what chokes me up, is that I'm literally terrified for my friends, for our country, and for the planet. And it's a hard pill to swallow. So yes, I'm all about doing the good work and like doing what we need to do. And I love that some people are already there, but if it's taking you a little bit longer, we understand that too. Cause I'm right there with you.
See, I think that we are all approaching this from different angles. I completely understand the fear of the situation that we're in. I do. And I think that Amanda and I have processed this a little bit differently than you have. And not to say that you're doing it wrong, because you're not. You're doing it on your terms. And Amanda and I probably aren't doing the exact same. But I think, and I've said this, what happened here is that there was a group of Americans, if you look throughout history, it's always the largest and angriest groups are always the one that causes the change. And they're the ones that feel neglected. And I think that you had a group of people here that had a combination, a perfect storm of things. They were tired of established politics. That's why Bernie was so popular, the establishment or anti-establishment, and Trump was, for all of his fucktardedness, represented anti-establishment in the things that he not represented, not even said, but just that he went out there and he said shit that no politician was ever going to say. And he was, you know, kind of like the conservative uprising. And there were warning signs. I mean, when the Tea Party started, the Republicans shouldn't have, you know, they kind of got complacent. From my perspective, I could be completely wrong. They, you know, I got complacent. Oh, we've got this group of people that are going to vote for us no matter what. They're powerful. They've got loud voices. I don't want to insult people that might be out there that agrees with them, but they have very extreme radical views. And that really should have been a warning sign to the party that, hey, this is going to be something that is going to, this is the start. This is the warning sign that shit's going to get, is going to blow up. And if you watch Paul Ryan's speech yesterday morning, Wednesday morning, that is a man that was like, fuck my life. Like, his language was very, very, like, there was no love towards Trump whatsoever in that. It was just things he was supposed to say, and that was it. And I think that, and I hate to say it, because to see a female president would have been amazing. But in the current, if you look back in retrospect, the political climate of this country, maybe Bernie would have been a better candidate. I don't know. I know that, Shandy, you disagree, and I don't know if I agree with that statement myself. I don't know if I agree with it myself, but when, if you're looking to sit there and analyze something, perhaps all of the major politicians misread the mood of the country, and that is what put us here. And that mood, that mood is not a mood that obviously we, the three of us, agree with, but it's out there, and I don't think that everybody... That I do not think, and I know you probably disagree, I don't think that everybody out there that voted for Trump is a bigot or a sexist or a homophobe or racist or anything. I don't think that that's that. I think that there were a lot of angry people, and they saw their vote for Trump not as a fuck you to a minority, but as a fuck you to the establishment. And I think that that is a big problem with, and I think people need to open their eyes and see, okay, how can we fix this climate in our country that it's so divisive that most of the Trump supporters were afraid to admit that they were going to vote for Trump? Like, and A, if you can't admit you're going to vote for a specific candidate, then maybe you should consider why and look at that. And B, some of them said they were afraid of, you know, just being called names, and I'm not empathizing with anybody. I'm just saying I think that there's a much bigger picture out here, and America needs to sit back and really analyze just what went wrong. And it's not one specific thing like all these people hate all this other group of people.
Okay, no, I agree with you that it's not one specific thing. And I agree with you that it's the loudest voices that sometimes are able to do stuff like this. It's the loudest, angriest voices. But at the same time, like the climate, when you talk about the climate of our country, the climate of our country has been white privilege. The climate of our country has been male privilege since it began. That has been the climate of our country. And we have made slow advances as we go. And that's why, like, Bernie, okay, no, I'm sorry. Hillary's way more qualified than him. I am not prepared to say that, okay, yeah, maybe he would have been better received because he's a dude. That's part of it. Okay, there are policy things too.
And that's better.
Well,
but that's right, part of politics, though.
I'm not okay with that. And I agree with you to a certain extent that not everyone who voted for Trump is like realizes that they're a sexist and a bigot and a xenophobe and a homophobe, but they're on board with that. So somewhere they are coming from a position, a place of power and privilege where they don't have to worry about that. They don't have to think like, oh, which is weird because you can say that, okay, maybe they don't know any Muslims. Maybe they don't know any immigrants, which they probably do. Maybe they don't know any gay people, which they actually definitely do. but they for sure know women. We make up more than half of the population. And
a lot of women voted for Trump, unfortunately.
The majority of white college educated women.
White. That's what I'm talking about. That goes back to me saying it's been male privilege, but it's also been white privilege. That is the climate of our country. And that's what we actively need to change. And that's why this is not okay. And
Amanda.
Can I have my turn?
Thank you. Yes, because I think you're going to say what I want to say, but way better. So go for it.
Yeah. So
that's the only reason you're allowed to talk, white woman.
Wow. Thanks. So
joking.
I have spent a lot of time the past couple of days listening, taking a page from Clinton, Miss Clinton's book. Miss Clinton, Senator, Secretary. Badass.
Secretary, if you're nasty.
Queen Bee.
Can we get that shirt, please?
Clinton. I've been doing a lot of listening. I've been listening to a lot of people, a lot of people that have been paying attention to politics a lot longer than me. I've been looking into things that I wasn't certain about. And it has kind of given me a couple of, you know, a broader thought past my own just gut reactions, and to sort of run them down. Bernie, yes, I agree that he probably wouldn't have been as well received by the large majority of the country, but I think it's because he is a little too far left.
Probably,
and yes. I think as we have proven that there is a large population of this country that is still very conservative or moderate and probably wouldn't have responded. But I think people also make that claim that Bernie would have been better received for 2 points. One, because his last name is not Clinton or Bush.
Yes.
And two, because he is not plagued with all of the drama that unfortunately Hillary has been. These emails really, really hurt her. It's one of the really major things that ultimately was the downfall of her campaign.
And I think
it's Benghazi, it's Whitewater. It's like, it goes on and on and on. And yes, she's overcome all those things. And yes, time and time again, she has been proven to not be fault for those situations. But a lot of America, if anything, this we have proven that what is fact and what people believe are often entangled incorrectly.
Two things before Shandy goes. Okay. One, well, this is vodka.
I have a whole more things to go, but we, yeah.
This is vodka in here, so prepare.
Nice. Fantastic.
Two, I think that this is just one comment, what you said. Hillary is the Clinton machine. She is associated with that. That is a term that has been around since, what, the early 90s, or maybe even beyond? Mm-hmm. And, it's a power to her, testament to the fact that she's this woman that's pretty much credited as being in charge of the mm-hmm. one of the major political dynasties in America. And I think that goes to what, the people are baggage and people are upset with the establishment. And I wonder, honestly, like the House of Cards effect, where people go, oh shit, like this is what politics are like. And
people saw how the sausage got made and they didn't like it.
Honestly, when I watched House of Cards the entire time, all I thought of was, oh, that's the Clintons. Mm-hmm. I swear to God. And I didn't think that in a negative way. That was just, those were the people that I associated that with, whether it was fair or not. But that is what I associated with that with. God, I only had one sip of the vodka and I can't even speak back and forth or forward and backwards. But that was all I really wanted to just note there. That was a knock on her. When I walked into work yesterday or Wednesday morning, I hugged my boss who was crying because she went to Wellesley and was a huge Hillary person. And then I went up to my other coworker and she wasn't crying or anything, but she was just like, man, my husband and I were talking at 6 o'clock this morning that if Hillary's last name was anything other than Clinton, she probably would have been our first woman president.
Which is ironic
she should have kept Rodham.
She tried to, but our fucking sexist country basically mm-hmm. pressured her to change it.
Yeah, but yep, she would have always been associated with that anyway.
Yes, few more things.
Like baby Charlotte could run for politics one day and baby Charlotte wouldn't win, so... But we had Bush, Clinton, Bush, and then Obama, and then Clinton again. And I think that people were just tired of it, which is ironic because out of all of those, the Clinton economy was the best. But Amanda's turn again.
I will get through them really quickly this time.
Don't go quick. Go slow and steady.
Yeah.
Pound it out.
The next point, and let me preface this by saying, Hillary was my candidate. I like Hillary. And it's not because she was a woman. It's because I agreed with like 98% of her policy.
Sure.
She was my candidate. So let me say that first.
It's okay to have both though.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay I will say, I will say that first before I lead into what I'm going to say. And this has been something that it really was brought to my attention. This is not an idea that came to me. This was one of my, as listening to other people and sort of hearing the wider thing and really getting a better understanding. And I, now that I've had time to internalize it, I do agree. She mismanaged her campaign a little bit.
She did.
She took advantage of the blue belt or the rust belt or whatever you want to call it, where, yes, we're getting back to middle-class white America who essentially did decide this vote. She took for granted that they were going to be there for her. And she never even went to Wisconsin. And that was ultimately one of the states that cost her. And what compounded with that, which leads me to my next point, is that Trump took a risk that those people would show up for him. So he went after those people. He went after working class white Americans, which everyone who does polling said that was kind of a risk, the way he was kind of going after this certain group of people. And they're like, it's not going to pay off. This does not work. This does not work. And it worked. So I think the fact those two things compounded together was kind of part of what happened. Storm. And thirdly, on top of that, compounding on top of that, the things just keep falling on top of each other, is that the GOP and the media and pretty much everybody underestimated Trump. The only person that didn't was Michael Moore. And if you've been reading any of his stuff, if you haven't been reading any of his stuff, I do suggest checking it out, because
if
you can stomach it, it is sobering. It is holding that mirror up to your ugly cry. And he's right. And you hate to admit he's right, but he was right.
What are some of the things that he's saying for those of us who haven't read it? Because I've skimmed, but it sounds like you've read a lot more than me. I just have the gist.
He called it. He called it that middle class, lower class white America was a lot angrier than we thought they were. And that they were gonna come out, and that, I mean, let me actually see if I can pull it up. I do have up what he posted yesterday morning. He posted a morning after to-do list.
What I've been,
I will not read it all because it's very long.
Yes, please don't. And plus, it's Michael Moore. What I've been saying is I feel like there was a contingency of angry middle and lower middle class that felt neglected. They felt like the poor people got attention from the government and the rich people got breaks from the government. And they were always stuck in the middle financing things when, again, this is what goes with the uneducated. And we don't mean uneducated like not college, people that went to college, because I know people that voted for Trump that went to college and, you know.
It's pretty high.
So, and statistics have also said that. So I'm not meaning uneducated like that. I mean uneducated that people that think that 100% of their paychecks go to social welfare programs when really in actuality it's what, like 2% or something like that. But you have these people who their salaries haven't raised in how many years? Like, they just keep working. They get jerked around with tax cuts. They don't apply for a lot of the things, like the upper class, like Trump, for example, qualify for all these tax loops. They don't. The poor people, and I say poor people not to be insensitive, just because
lower income people.
Because lower middle class, I guess, I can consider with like middle class, but I want to just like kind of separate it, because I consider, you know, lower middle class and middle class to be slightly different, just if you're going through like a scale. They look at the you know, lower income people or poor people, as they call them, which is somewhat whatever. But, you know, when you're in this like little bubble that's your own little thing that you've been in, you know, you're not really branching out to look for politically correct meanings, because you see that as an insult, because nobody's being politically correct towards you. And it's just this perfect storm of people that just got so angry and so angry and so angry. And honestly, I feel like shame on the Republicans because they let this build, and shame on the Democrats because they also let this build. Like, nobody addressed the people. Nobody threw them a bone, and they let them get to this.
But look, this is where I have to say again, for me, it's like, you know what? Fuck all of you. Shame on those fucking people who did that. Because
But sorry, they're looking at their own way of life. Like, you have people out there who live paycheck to paycheck, but they don't qualify for assistance, and they don't whatever. So and they don't feel like people care about them.
Who's not gonna?
Oh my god, we just got all Fox News yelling at each other. I'm so sorry, guys.
This is impossible.
We just got the view. It's the view, right?
And also, okay. Shani and I are making the same exact motions with our hands.
No. Okay. No. So here's what I'm going to say. And I will try to stop yelling it. But it really fucking pisses me off. Because here's the thing. Yes, these people feel like they've been left behind. And yes. So it, like, first of all, a logical, like, logic gap here. You don't elect a super conservative who doesn't care about social programs if you're poor. Doesn't make any sense. That's first thing.
But they don't. Second they thing, are used to not qualifying for things, so they don't consider themselves poor.
Yeah, well, you know what? If we had a better social safety net, then they would qualify for things. And the way to get a better social safety
net pays for the things they qualify for
is to skew progressive. You change the way you tax people. It's totally possible. The rest of the civilized world does it. And civilized, God, I shouldn't have said that. What I meant was, God, what do we say?
You're roar, Shandy. You're roar. Raw. You're raw.
Raw. Roaring.
Man, like, in like roar. most of the developed, God, that sounds fucking awful too, but you guys know what I mean. Like, anyway. Okay. Second thing. What was my second thing? Oh, this is where I want to play the world's smallest fucking violin, because look at all the other groups. Like, look at African-Americans, for example. Who voted? Look, I have the stats up in front of me. If you look at the breakdown, okay, by race, 88% of African Americans voted for Hillary. Okay, but that's a group that has been systematically and systemically marginalized since they were forcibly brought to this country. So they're not voting for Trump. Like, you know, I'm sorry, all of you, like, you know, poor white people. People who are like in my like economic level and are white, like it's not okay. It's not an excuse. I'm sorry. It's just not an excuse.
Well, also, if you're going to talk about the
excuse, no one's excusing.
Nobody's excusing.
We are rationalizing what happened. You can't fix a problem if you don't identify the causes of it.
Yeah,
right. You gotta look at it. And how do you make people less racist? And that's just the thing. I feel like people.
Well, you're talking about the African American vote, though.
Yeah, I'm saying the African American vote went for Clinton.
They did.
But they also voted less. They didn't turn out as much as they did for Obama.
Exactly. They turned out. There were counties in Pennsylvania and Ohio, multiple counties that turned out significantly less for Hillary than Obama. Like, they went out and they voted for Obama, and they did not go out and they did not vote for Hillary. And in North Carolina, there were counties that Trump won, that Pat McCrory, our fucked hard governor, that's hopefully almost our ex-governor, did not win. And you know, it's an interesting climate. I don't know really where I'm going with that, other than I feel like, well, I just want also to say fuck Pat McCrory.
But also, in like, what is it, like 20 years, white people will not be the majority anymore.
So there's hope.
America, there's hope, and they're
well. I think not being the majority equals hope.
They feel like they are losing their country, and they're just, you know, they're right. grabbing at what they think will fix it.
I just want to tell them, like, to go fucking fuck themselves.
Okay, no. Okay, I do, like, Amanda's got a great point, and it's not so much that they have to go fucking fuck themselves, because that's, you know, that's kind of being just as insensitive as what you think that they're saying to the minorities are. We need to go out there and preach. You need to go out there and teach them, like, it's okay, right? Like, you need to teach to preach tolerance and, hey, it's okay that.
But why is it like, it's, it, why like, is it, why is it always the job of the progressives to teach everyone else to not be sexist, to not be racist, to not be homophobic, to not be xenophobic? Like,
because if you look at it, the people that are taught,
someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
Might as well be us.
The people that are the ones that are us, we're the ones that have gone out into the world and experienced things, and we are shaped by our experiences. We are shaped beyond what is in our little box of how we were raised. And like it or not, there's a large, large portion of this country for whatever reason. And I would say a lot of it is probably economic, but you also have the family unit, you know, the people that think that, and I'm not disparaging this whatsoever. I am the black sheep in my family. Like my entire family lives within 30 miles of each other. I'm sorry, 45 miles of each other on Long Island. And, you know, I am the black sheep that moved away. And what I see when I go back home to Long Island, and by back home, I mean look at people I went to high schools with Facebook pages who didn't go to college, who didn't experience other things. And I'm not, if you might be an exception out there if you're listening to this and totally disagreeing with me. This is not about you. This is just specifically my Facebook experience and my social media experience. I feel like if you don't go out there and you don't experience the world, that is more of what makes you uneducated than any kind of schooling could make you, because you don't understand how other people live. You sit there and you think, oh, these people, I'm paying my taxes for this person to have babies and not go to work. Oh, I'm paying my taxes for this person who doesn't want to get a citizenship. I'm paying my taxes for this. And you get mad because you don't know. And, you know, you get angry. And that's a large portion of not Long Island, that was just my example, but of this country. And, you know, in the Tribe Facebook chat this morning, Shandy, Jay Fisher was talking about Flint, Michigan. Flint turned out for Trump, where they just didn't turn out to vote at all, but they usually go blue because they still have poison water. Mm-hmm. And this was a huge thing a year ago. And here we are, years later, like since they've had this problem, and the government still has not stepped in to actually help them. So they, I don't remember if he said that they didn't vote at all or they went for Trump, because they had voices. Their voices were, fuck you guys, fuck you government. You guys don't care about us. You guys have not answered us. So we're going to go for the person on this ticket that is the least government of them all. And I can't help but wonder if a lot of those groups that went out for Trump, that felt neglected, that felt like the establishment owed so many favors to other people that they would never get to them, if they really truly thought, oh, Trump's never going to win, I'm going to throw my vote this way.
Yeah. Might I interject that we move on to the positive portion?
I have
something that I would like to talk about that it's really positive.
Oh my God, guys, this lasted about 15 minutes longer than we wanted to. And we both have lots. We'll have lots of positive things.
I just have the one, if I may.
Okay.
So yes, our biggest glass ceiling on Tuesday was not broken, but ladies, we still have 7 women who made history in the election of 2016.
Okay.
Let's see. The number of women of color in the U.S. Senate went from 1 to 4 after last night. And we are all about it. Here are 7 incredible women who made major moves in the election of 2016. This article that I'm reading right now is from Self, but there are several that are covering this. So I will breeze through them quickly. 1, Catherine Cortez Masto from Nevada. She is in the Senate. She is the first Latina senator. She is a Democrat. 2, Tammy Duckworth, who I am a personal fan of. She is the Democratic representative from Illinois. She won her Senate race, making her the 2nd Asian American senator and the 1st female senator to have served in combat. She's a double amputee. And she's done a lot of really great work for veterans. So she will be a really strong voice for not only women, minority women, but also for veterans. So that's pretty cool. 3, Kamala Harris, a California Democrat. She's both of Jamaican and Indian descent. So that's pretty cool. So she is the first Black woman. She's now the 2nd Black woman, ever elected to the Senate and the 1st Indian American senator. She's also the 1st Black senator to represent California. So that is pretty cool as well. 4, Pramila, Pramila Jayapal, Sorry, ladies, I am dyslexic, so pronunciation is very challenging.
All right, Tim.
Yeah.
JK, we love you all.
House of she's a Washington Democrat for the House of Representatives. She is the first Indian American woman, as well as the first person of South Asian descent to be elected to the House. Immigrants' rights activist. So there will be a voice there for social justice. Number five, Stephanie Murphy, a Democrat who also won a House seat in Florida. She is the first Vietnamese American woman to be elected to Congress. She is the daughter of a Vietnamese refugee. And she is the first person in her family to go to college. President Obama and Vice President Biden had both endorsed her for the job. Number six, Ilhan Omar. Again, I'm sorry, guys, if these names are wrong. She is the first Somali-American Muslim female legislator from Minnesota. She spent 4 years in a Kenyan refugee camp before moving to the U.S. at the age of 12. Number seven, Kate Brown. She is from Oregon, and she is their state's governor, making her the first openly LGBT governor in the U.S.
Awesome.
So, yes, we lost the biggest battle, but look at how many other battles we won on Tuesday. Things will happen. There is good. There is good, and there is women. Yay.
Yes.
Don't lose hope, guys. Don't lose hope.
Yes. And to piggyback off of that, I had an article, if you're overwhelmed by the election, here's what you can do now. And this is just different opportunities of places where you can either donate or volunteer or whatnot. Just things, because if you are upset by the results of the election for social reasons and whatnot, you can make the difference. You still can. And that sounds cliche to say, but it's true. Like, you can, from the ground up. That's what change starts, from the ground up. It starts with the individual. So if you'd like to volunteer, if you want to combat racism, you can go to Showing Up for Racial Justice, and that is www.showinguporacialjustice.org. I will post all these links in the Facebook group if somebody reminds me. You can also go to the AmeriCorps. AmeriCorps. Oh, sorry. I'm so uneducated, guys.
It's okay.
It's a French word. It's fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
it shouldn't have a P in it. Why is the P even there?
Why is the P there? Because it makes us feel good.
Oh, good.
Speaking of French, Zach in the car tonight started randomly busted out with Frère Jacques, and I mean like the whole fucking thing.
Nice.
Like, he did not start with Are You Sleeping? It was Frère Jacques, Frère Jacques. I was like, oh my god. I tried to get him to sing it. I recorded a little bit at bedtime. I actually emailed it to myself to play tonight if anybody needed a picker-upper, but I didn't get to like extract the audio or whatever, and I don't want to make you guys wait the 5 minutes that's going to take me to do that. So
Okay. Maybe
next time. But yeah, it was really cute. He just busted out. If you want to be a part of your next local election as a poll worker, you can go to elections.newyork.gov. That's, I guess, this one. But I bet you if you just Google like be a part of your local election. I actually did that in high school. My junior and senior year, some of my friends, I think Claudio, Ian, maybe Brian did it too. My friend Aaron, all volunteered at a local, I don't know if it was a fire station or like elections, like, you know, makeshift headquarters or whatever. And for the local votes, we actually sat there and listened while people read out the votes and like tallied them up. It was really cool, actually.
That's great.
It was great. It was really cool. If you want to support Muslim family and friends, you can go to the Council on American Islamic Relations. If you want to support LGBTQ community, you can go to the Mazzoni Center. That's Mazzoni Center.org. You can also just join an organization that helps immigrants and new Americans. The one on this article is Schusterman.com. if you want to donate. I think Shani and I both did this today. You can go to Planned Parenthood and you can donate there. If you want to go to PlannedParenthood.org, there's actually a very handy link there that you can donate to. You can donate to the Future Project or the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, RAIN, which is Assist Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. The ACLU is always looking for donations. Border Angels, which is an advocate for immigration reform and social justice, specifically regarding the U.S. and Mexican border. You can just, I mean, there are always, always places that you can go. In Raleigh, and I'm sure that this is everywhere, there's actually a website in Raleigh that you can go to, and it's got plenty of places to donate. While you guys are talking, I will try to find it. It's kind of like an Eventbrite site, but it's specifically for people that want to look for ways to volunteer.
Nice. I would also, just to add to that.
Oh, it's Activate sure... Good. Sorry. Activate Good. Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
Dot org.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I would make sure know who your the representative is for your district, both local and for, you know, your representative for DC. And tell them, talk, you know, reach out to them. If there is a big vote coming up, make sure you voice how you want them to vote. That is theoretically how the system is supposed to work.
Yes.
And myself included, I talk a big game, but I don't actually follow through and do that. So I think perhaps moving forward, I actually will.
I would even go so far as to say that this is the one election that someone took how people wanted to vote and ran with it. And it's scary. But that's what happened. I don't think that the person that is going to be our president actually has ever agreed with the values of the people that he is representing.
Well, he's never really stated, so we don't really know. I mean,
we don't really know if that was him trolling for votes
or if he genuinely believes the words that he's saying. We don't know. We're about to find out.
I know he's
a pathological liar, so who knows exactly. what the hell he
believes. I feel like 50% of our podcast is going to disagree with this, but I feel like and I'm sorry, please don't leave us a bad review. Just email us. but I feel like everybody was trolled. This is somebody that has never doesn't have a history of any of the things that he preached. So sorry, everybody.
And honestly, Colleen, here's the thing. Like, I am super happy to have, hopefully, a very diverse listenership. And that's what I would want. But I cannot imagine that somebody would subscribe to listen to three chicks talking. if, you know, I think that in and of itself is maybe an indicator of something.
I think that somebody who skews conservative could listen to three chicks. I don't think that that's out of the question.
I don't think it's out of the question, but I wonder.
I don't think that that's out of the question at all, because skewing conservative actually has a lot of different meanings in today's society.
Are you fiscally? I have plenty of friends that are fiscally conservative.
I consider myself to be somewhat fiscally conservative when I look at some of the things out there. Not as much as I was 10 years ago, but I would consider myself to be fiscally conservative and a lot more moderate than I would be liberal. If we're going to go down and do one of those, you know how Cosmo does the quizzes where it's like check A, B, and C, and if you've got more A's, more B's than C's, I feel like I would have more B's than A's and C's. So I'm just saying.
Well, no. And I'll definitely give you that. Of course. That's for sure. But I guess what I'm saying is somebody who would like support misogyny probably wouldn't, you know, want to listen to a podcast with three women, especially when one of the women on the podcast is constantly like getting on the feminist soapbox.
Oh, fuck to the no. Or just,
yeah,
that's
fair. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah. I will say this. I don't want to end this on a downer note. So, Amanda, the thing that you told us before we started that you were going to do, I want you to finish with that. With the... Okay.
Okay, I just have to say for everyone that can't see the audio, kind of looked like Colleen was just giving a BJ.
I did make a BJ move, but I was not giving a BJ, nor was I trying to.
Yeah. Although I can't tell the story in my current state. So let me fix that. Let me fix that. I'll be 1 second.
Okay. I will tell my story that I told you guys. So I will
We also have one bit of feedback.
We have one bit of feedback that we want to address that we want to talk about. Yes.
Do you want to do that first and I can do my thing at the end? That might be a nice closer.
Yeah, but my thing is going to be depressing.
That's why my thing's going to, we're going to end with my thing.
All right. So let's do the feedback. Now don't forget, we're not editing any of this out.
We are free and horny. I'll be right back.
Free and horny. Yes, that's right. That's what you sounded like. Okay.
Free
so we had one bit of feedback, and we actually read this already once for the episode that's coming out next week, but we really wanted to address this immediately, sooner rather than later. So we're going to do this a second time here, and the sentiment has not changed either time. So we got an email from Jennifer, and it goes like this. As a longtime Jay and Jack listener, I have been enjoying your show. Until this past episode, Colleen's comment about sex and a fat partner was uncalled for, and like she said, it was me. I'm surprised that Shandy and Amanda didn't say anything about that comment, and by not speaking up, you are either being non-confrontational or agreeing with her statement. You gals speak about being for all women, but by making statements like that, what you really mean is that you're for the non-fat woman. I cannot support a podcast that apparently has decided to go low. You've lost a loyal listener, and that up until now was recommending it to my friends, but will let my friends know that I've withdrawn my support, Jennifer. So, I have to say, I'm really sorry. It was intended as a joke. It was a joke that came out completely wrong. I felt very uncomfortable when I made it. Rather than just rephrase it, I should have just cut the whole thing out. And as you guys have heard from many episodes, and by many I mean 18, I tend to barrel on when I talk without letting anybody else get a word in edgewise. So you guys, you know, might not even had a chance to respond before we moved on. So here it's wrong. I mean, if we're going to sit here and talk about how we have a president that has spoken derogatory towards anybody, just anybody in general, I'm not even going to name groups because just like a general anybody and made fun of minorities and made fun of handicapped people. And if we're going to sit there and say that that's not okay, then we need to also be kind of on board with the fact that it's not okay. And I went for a joke that was low-hanging fruit, and it was wrong, and it was mean, and I didn't mean it. And I don't want people to think I'm a mean girl. I don't want it to be representative of the broadcast above all and else. So I just want to apologize if anybody out there was offended by it. If you are a newer listener, that has been edited out, that portion, so you might not have even heard it. It was during that sex tips for men article. But yeah, I want to apologize, and we wanted to take this opportunity to open it up, the topic of body image, to our listeners. So you guys have two things for our next feedback. One is I guess election stuff, and two is the body image topic, because we did want to address it at some point. We didn't know when, and clearly this is, you know, now become the perfect issue, the perfect time to talk about this issue. So we just want to apologize and let people know that
we all make mistakes. We all say things without thinking, and it happens. It doesn't excuse it. It is a fact of life. And I think we now, particularly now more than ever, we want to make sure that this podcast is a safe space for people to express their feelings about a whole slew of topics. And while it's a not a great way to jump into such conversation. It got us here, which is ultimately a good thing. And yeah, we definitely do want to talk more about body image and how that affects us.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
And really how to deal with it. Because let's be honest.
How to deal with it. How to build each other back up.
We just elected a president that is likely going to talk about like foreign diplomats or press reporters like this. So based on how they look, which is disgusting enough in itself. But and that's kind of half a joke. But oh, maybe that's something that I should edit out if this wasn't a rawr episode.
No, definitely there are things you should keep in. I don't know. I mean,
that's what she said.
I agree with you. Oh, sometimes we say things off the cuff that we don't necessarily mean. I may have told an entire part of the population to go fuck themselves. I may have meant it. I may have not. But this.
You may have also half come out to half the population.
So damn it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because at the end of the day, I just cannot get behind bigotry and I cannot get behind sexism. And part of sexism is exactly what we're talking about right now. And so I agree. We can all do better and we should all do better. And it's great in a way to be humbled and to understand that, yeah, okay, like something that we said flippantly, didn't even think twice about, like that affects people. And so we can have a conversation about that. So I am actually really excited to start a conversation about it, especially like you guys were both saying in this climate of who was just elected to be president of the United States of America. It's definitely important. And I do agree that we need to all stand together right now.
And I wanted to also stress out that I was kind of half joking, like this particular body image is something that's been around for forever. And it's probably going to be around for a while unless we can figure out a way to combat it. So
kill the patriarchy. That's how you do it.
But it's not even that. Women shame other women about it.
Exactly. And that's part of the patriarchy. It goes together. It's women do that because we are socialized from the time that we're young girls that there can only be one woman at the top. And so we have to tear each other down in order to be that person. Whereas for the men, there can be multiple, you know.
I always go back to this. Men. Men can have gray hair and be sexy, and women cannot.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many double standards that it's, like, nauseating. But that's why we have to always continue the fight. And I thought we had made progress.
Or also, it's not even...
Come back.
Well, what does the fight mean? And I think that... I hope that our listeners can actually contribute to this. Because I think that the fight means women themselves having more confidence that they don't let it affect them. Because when you show somebody that their criticism doesn't affect you, that's probably like the best way to combat it at all, because it's just going to be infuriating and they're just going to drop it at some point. Like, it's going to get worse, but then they're going to drop it. And well, I have to say, when I stopped caring a little bit less about, like, I used to work out 20 days a week. And like, there's been times when I've worked out twice a week. And I would say probably since Zach was born, I just don't have the time anymore. I struggled a bit because, you know, I lost a lot of weight when I was nursing and got a little bit used to that. And then I gained it all back plus some when I stopped nursing and was a lot more doughy than I had been used to being for 7 years or whatever it'd been. It was tough. And I had to stop and think, like, do I feel bad about how I look because I feel like other people are judging me or because of how I look at myself? And then do I look at myself because of my personality or because I worry about how other people are going to judge me when really they're not going to? And then I kind of focused on, and I'll say this, I have actually never been worried about how men were going to judge me. I would say in all of my insecurities, I have always been worried about how other women were going to look at me. And I'll throw that out there. That has been, I can't think of any time. And again, maybe that's just because I've been with somebody for 9.5 years at this point that I don't remember what it was like before. But in the last 9.5 years, it has solely been are other women going to look at me and be like, oh, she didn't age well, or oh, she let herself go, or oh, she had a baby and she did this, or oh, look at that. Or so I will fully admit that. Sorry?
Well,
it's the power of the patriarchy. That's why it needs to stop.
And I would just throw one extra sort of not contradictory point, but perhaps another side of the coin about not letting things affect you. Sometimes I got to say the opposite. You learn more from failing than you do from succeeding. And I think this is a perfect example of that.
I completely agree with
you. You know, we were called out for saying something we shouldn't have said, and now we're talking about it, and we probably won't do it again anytime soon. So I think that is almost sometimes a stronger
fail,
way to
not talk about it.
Yeah.
Or not talk about it.
We are not talking about the fact that we did something we shouldn't have, that we said something we shouldn't have. And now we will think twice before making another flippant joke moving forward.
I almost argue
that that is a better way to combat this sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And I think that might have been
something.
Yeah. It's, I think we've also decided somehow that vulnerability is weakness. And I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. I think showing someone that they hurt you and how and why they hurt you is how you learn how to fix it. It's definitely addressing the problem. So I would say being a little more open might help us in the future.
As long as both parties are willing to learn how to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you do what you can.
You do what you can.
I was going to say, I really felt like, that's exactly how I feel about Hillary's email server.
And I was going to say, that's kind of Hillary's problem, that she,
oh, no, but she would
put up such a strong freaking front.
She would have been impeccable as far as email use went.
I don't think that the email use was just the thing. I think that just gave people an excuse.
We could spend hours and hours talking about those damn emails.
We're already at an hour, and we did not even leave a space for an ad break. So I'm just saying,
fuck the ad break.
We love the ad break. No, please.
Big fan of Geico. Big fan.
Yeah,
big fan.
Love it.
Just kidding. I don't even have a car. What am I talking
about? Walk with me now. How you brown cow.
Wait, but hey, Amanda, do you have some sort of like insurance for when you don't have a car, but like are still a driver? No, because I say that because I remember when I was in college, I didn't have a car, but I still had some sort of like minimal insurance so that I would never have a break in my insurance. I don't know. Is that important?
I have life insurance. So if a car hits me,
On that note, I have to admit, I just coughed and peed a little bit. So let's keep going so I can get out of here.
I got things to do, guys. I love you, but let's.
Yeah, I got some Luke Cage. So, two quick stories that Amanda and I both have to take us out of this. And mine's kind of sad, but kind of not. When we were driving home, Zach and I from school, aka daycare, on Tuesday, I said, "Zachy, you are the last generation to not know what it's like to have a woman president." I said, "Zachy, every single baby born tomorrow and after will be born in the era of a woman president. Like you're one of a kind. You're the end of it. Like every baby after this is going to know what it's like to have a woman president." And like we took him to vote that morning, and you know, I was very like trying to explain to him the whole process, and I know he's 2.5, so he really doesn't understand the process. But the next morning he woke up, and I was in his room, and I was like, "Hey, Zachy, remember, you know," and Jay was distraught. Like Jay and I went to the movies, and then we went to a local bar, and Shandy, he might have tied you for distraughtness. Like he was still crying today about it. So I was like, "Zachy, you remember when I told you that we were going to elect a woman president?" And he was like, "President, vote. And it was so cute. Like, all he took away from my whole conversation was president and vote. And, you know, he's 2.5, so you could, you know, dismiss that. But it kind of gave me hope. Like, I just taught this 2.5-year-old, like, the word president is equal to the word vote. And I kind of felt a little bit of pride in just that, and a little bit of hope that if we educate our children young enough, mm-hmm. that, you know, they are listening to what we say. So yeah. That ties into my friend this morning had a status that, and it was, I don't have it up and I should, but the gist of it was.
That's what he said.
Oh. The gist of it was language matters. Instead of saying, mm-hmm. I'm scared for my life, I should be saying, as a parent, and because she's a parent, she's like, as a parent, I should be saying, I acknowledge that I am scared for my life, but I will be strong enough to rise up against the things I'm afraid of in the face of them and overcome.
Nice.
And I thought that was Rachel. Did you see that, Rachel Cronin?
No, we aren't Facebook friends.
Oh, okay. Well, it was her status. And, you know, her whole thing is change your language. Don't say I'm afraid, because afraid, saying I'm afraid for my life breeds hate. Saying I'm afraid, but I will overcome, you know, tells women that they can be afraid, but, you know, you can do greater than your fear. And yep. you can do that. And I thought that was great. Like, I thought that was just such a wonderful sentiment to have. Like, there are so many people out there, and I understand completely the feeling, I'm afraid for what's going to happen now. But I love that she rephrased it in that, I acknowledge that I'm afraid for what might happen, but I am strong enough to stand up for myself and overcome it.
So I think that's really great, especially since Trump pretty much ran his campaign on fear. And look what that got us, you know. Yes. Fear of the other is will lead to the world's destruction. So.
Yes. Yep. So if you're upset, I understand that. Just to close my part out, if you're upset, I totally understand why you're upset and why you're afraid. And the Supreme Court, you know, that's a lifetime appointment. So that's kind of something to be afraid of.
Definitely. But not to mention the planet.
All right. Well. But if you can sit there,
that shit's irreversible at one point.
Hold on, girl. RBG, stay alive.
I know, girl. Stay alive. Oh. Can you please? I just have one thing to ask of her.
Send RBG some green juice. Send her some green juice.
Just fucking hold on.
Pay for the rest of shots. Girl, gotta stay alive for 4 years.
Yeah. Send. Look, in lieu of being a patron, please send some wheatgrass shots to RBG, care of the White House. the Supreme Court. Sorry. Don't send it care of the Supreme Court. I would edit this out if we were going to do any editing this episode. Cough and pee. Awesome. Okay. We need a pee break, so we have to go.
Well, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap this up. Amanda, did you have something to say about your...
Yes. Yeah. So I have, two things. One... You can tell Zaki there will be a woman president in his lifetime.
Before he's able to vote.
Before he's able to vote. Damn it. That is going to be a thing. There will be a female president.
I hope so.
In our lifetime, in his lifetime, that will happen. That will happen. Have faith. But, okay. So my thing.
If the Cubs can win the World Series, motherfucker.
If the Cubs can win the World Series.
God damn it. Happen.
A goddamn woman can be president.
Yeah, we've checked off a lot of boxes. The Red Sox won. The Cubs have won.
Yep.
Sports.
Yeah. Okay, so I had in my fridge a bottle of pink bubbly. I don't think it was proper champagne. It was probably Prosecco. Shandy, I know the difference. Don't worry, girl. I know.
It's the fucking same. It's just, you know, goddamn champagne.
Don't tell it to my husband. It's
yeah. I know. I'm aware. But I'm a person of the world.
I'm a motherfucking American, and I say it's the goddamn shame.
Well, exactly.
Either way.
Same.
Either way. No. Neither here nor there does not lessen or greaten the story.
Exactly. So you had some good bubbly.
Yeah. I had some pink bubbly in my fridge that I was chilling to toast the first female president Tuesday night. And as I was lying in a heap on the floor, literally, this really did happen Tuesday night when it looked like it was not going that way. I couldn't bring myself to drink the bottle. I left it in the fridge.
Yeah, my boss said the exact same thing. She had a bottle. Yeah. She had a bottle of champagne too, and could not bring herself to open it.
Yep. Yeah. So tonight, my boyfriend was like, "Why don't we open that bottle?" And I said, "Okay." So we did, and while we were eating dinner, we toasted to women. And I still have a glass of it here with me right now. And I toast to you, ladies.
I toast to you guys.
I toast to all women, all supporters, all love warriors, all people of the world. We are still in this. Love can prevail if we all work together.
Listen.
To you, ladies.
Whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, I say pants suit up because we got some work to do.
We got some work to do.
We got some work to do.
Don't forget, Voldemort did take over Hogwarts, but in the end, the right side won the Battle of Hogwarts. So it's not over. Amanda, my husband is from Champagne, so he consumes a lot of that. There are 2.5 bottles left in my fridge. Like,
how do you say champagne in French?
Champagne.
I think we asked that exact
same question
last week.
Yes, I was like, this is kind of deja vu. But,
fuck you. I'm going to edit that out then. Or if you're listening to this, listen for next week.
No. Anyway, never happens in our household ever. But I think you've inspired me, and I think I might just go and drink to you guys as well once we're done.
It's only 8 o'clock for you?
It's 7 o'clock, and I don't work tomorrow because it's Veterans Day. So I'm like, and I've already got on my run. I have the whole night.
Drink the fucking champagne. Yep.
Do it.
Champagne. All right. So on that note, ladies, I love you guys. I'm glad that we did this. Everybody else, if you have feedback or you want to become a patron, we need to thank some of our special patrons. That would be Brad from Chicago, Tack from Tokyo, and Eckhart Rickner. Thank you guys for listening and being a patron. If you would like to support us on any level of Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/JandJack. You can donate anywhere from $1 to like $1 gazillion or $1 million, because that $1 million level is watching Shandy, Jay, Ken from Survivor, and I have a foursome on camera.
As long as Ken from Survivor is cool with it, he doesn't know yet.
He doesn't know yet, but I feel like in this political climate, it's totally cool. Just go up, grab him by the dick, and lead him into it. Because, right? Like, it's okay, right? If you can grab women by the pussy, it's an equal opportunity country.
Yep.
I don't think that Donald Trump is an equal opportunity kind of person.
If somebody went up to Donald Trump and grabbed him by the dick, he would not turn it down.
Depends on their level of attractiveness, but
true. And again, age. I feel like he's a dude.
Okay. Anyway,
oh yeah, no, dudes are gonna write in now and be upset. So patrons, please do that. If you want to email us about body image issues or the election, please do so. We really, really, really want to hear from you guys. We think that this is a very important topic to discuss for a little while until we take our little winter recess. You can email us 331-276-2373. That's also. Jesus, if this was an actual episode, I would edit that out. But again, I'll just repeat myself. That's 331-276-2373, which equates to 331-276-BROADS. Or you can email us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. Shandy, Amanda, and I all have Twitters. I'm Colleen84.
I'm Shandy Lomperley.
Yeah.
What am I?
Amanda J underscore
Jean Anderson. Oh, wait, I'm Amanda Jean underscore Geo, but how do you change it? Because I feel like that's just too long. It's too much.
Very easy to change it. We'll go through this. Just go to mine or Shandy's Twitter, and you can find Amanda's Twitter at some point.
I don't really tweet. Find me on Facebook or Instagram. Twitter is not my...
Or if you can support us at $5 or more, you can be in the patrons group, and you can just talk to Amanda there.
Yeah. I'm much more... Oh, and if you are, please make sure that you make yourself known by using the hashtag I'm with hers.
Yeah.
With an S.
And if you convert any of your I'm with her paraphernalia into I'm with hers, please also tweet that or Facebook that us, because I am fucking dying to see that.
Yep. Yeah. Champagne brunch. Do we want to talk about that?
Yes.
Champagne brunch.
So I think we talk about this the next episode, but we should start this now.
Mark your calendars.
We are looking to do our champagne brunch, in which I also have pink blush champagne, for all everybody out there, on Saturday, December 3rd. So we would not record our regular, episode the following week. Because Shandy is going to be in France.
The following week I can. It's the week after that that I can.
Whatever, guys. We'll figure it the fuck out. So,
but anyway. Mark your calendars. Let us know if you can.
December 3rd
join us.
In the morning. It'd be in the morning, but a time that incorporates both East Coast and West Coast time. So just keep that date open. I guess we're going to have another episode after that, but we are going to take a couple weeks off. At the end of the year for the holiday season. Plus, you know, statistics. Honestly, the statistics have shown that none of you guys even fucking listen to our podcast in December. So just saying. Hashtag. But on that note, thanks, guys. My alarm that was set for 9:30 went off 40 minutes ago. So this show has been 40 minutes longer than we wanted it to be. I guess it's a real official show, but a short show still for us. On that note, I have to say, I love you, ladies. Girl power.
Right back at you.
We shall overcome. And honestly,
smash the patriarchy.
It's going to be okay. Change starts from the ground level. So, and there was a lot that, you know, as we discussed, there was a perfect storm of things. So,
don't get complacent. Like, tragedy has happened. Make no mistake of that. So, our response should be equally bless you.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Our response should be equally as serious as the serious implications that this has had.
Yeah, and also, you know, if you voted for Trump, honestly, I would love to talk to you. Like, don't leave us a bad review or anything. And that's the thing with Jennifer. She didn't go out there and leave us a bad review because she was upset with something she said. She actually emailed us and wanted to discuss it like a grown-up person. And I truly, truly, truly appreciate that, because that meant a lot more to me, being able to interact with somebody that was upset with us, to listen to their concerns and actually try to understand. So if you voted for Trump, like, Well, Shandy might judge you, but Amanda and I won't.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Like, truth be told, like, I interact with people who vote for Trump every day. It's part of my job. Like, I get it. And
Shandy will interact with you on the podcast and not get paid for it. So,
I would like to understand why.
And I would like to hear the reasons.
And I would like to hear if I'm wrong. Which I'm never wrong.
This is not Frank you're having a conversation with.
Oh no, that's just general. Sorry.
No, but honestly, we would like to have an actual, open, honest discussion with our listeners, and we realize that 50% of you statistically may have voted differently than how we voted. So we would love to hear from you, because part of healing and part of moving forward, like, you can't have change, you can't move forward in a country until you understand what drives somebody else and understand their reasonings. Shandy, it goes both ways.
Well, no, I agree with you, Colleen, but I also don't feel like we need to come together with racism and sexism.
I'm not saying to come together. So. I'm talking about having an open discussion.
Yeah. That's fine. I'm cool with open discussion. I would be fascinated to talk about it.
Yes. All right, guys. So this is the most raw political episode that we've ever had. We've actually had a lot of episodes. This is 19, technically, even though it's the 20th one that we've recorded. But we've actually had, out of the last 18, we've had political discussions on probably, like, what, 8 or 9 of them? And I've edited almost all of them out. And yeah, I kind of regret that now.
We kept it pretty sparse.
Yeah.
But... Well, you know,
I think politics is okay. Like, it's part of the personal is political. It's like absolutely part of who we are. So,
and you know, yeah, yeah. So anyway, on that note, guys, I hope everybody has a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting us. Just, you know, thanks in general, just for listening. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Hashtag, I said that already twice. Listen to some of the other shows on the network. Westworld with J-Jack and Mike, Survivor with J-Jack and Colleen. That Colleen is me, by the way. you can check out the Married Man show. They are our counterparts. Also, Shandy has a crush on Nick. So you can listen to how see how that turns out.
So there's that.
There's that. I've got Walking Dead with Three Stupid Guys. Dancing with the Stars, if you're interested in that one. I don't know. I feel like I post a fuck ton every day. So, like, to me, they all kind of blend together. If you want to check.
I just started Westworld, and I listened to the first episode of the podcast. Well done, gentlemen. I can personally say it was very helpful, and it enhanced my viewing experience.
Awesome.
I haven't written my iTunes review yet, but I will do it soon. But kudos, gentlemen. It was very good.
Awesome.
I'm excited to have it as a companion to watching the rest of the show.
Well, a fun fact. Did you know that Mike's wife is the one that wrote us the review about speaking the feels?
I did, because we talked about it.
Yes, I know. I'm talking about this on air, motherfucker. Wait to ruin
this.
It doesn't make
it any less awesome.
I know, but I'm talking about it to the listeners. Awesome. Anyway, thank you, guys, for the great reviews, all of you.
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, Colleen, when is this episode coming out?
In like a few minutes.
Awesome. Okay, so happy Veterans Day also. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. Yay. Thank you for your service. If we have any listeners who are veterans.
Yes. Thank you for your service. We appreciate you.
Yes. And if you're upset about how shitty this episode may sound, it's because I didn't edit it. And I think it sounds great, actually. So fuck you all.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Okay. All right. And on that note.
Yeah. All right. On that note.
This time.
Yeah. I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And we'll see you guys next week. Peace out. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.